The time is 8:30 a.m. I will be interviewing Ruth Scaife of Bridgeport, Michigan.
Okay, Mrs. Scaife, what were the schools like when you were
in
school?
Well, when I started school, there were only two rooms, and they were right over here on where the educational services are now. And I think originally there was only one room, and it had just been remodeled into two rooms. And so, and they had, at that time, I think there were 8 grades there, so that means there would be 4 grades in a room, probably.
Did you go to high school?
Oh, yes. And then by the time I, well, let's see, when I was in the 4th grade, yes, when I was in the 4th grade, they had remodeled it at the school and made it into 3 rooms. And, we were real thrilled. We had indoor bathrooms.
Really?
Originally, they were outside, out in back. And we had an indoor bathroom, and we had a room that we called our library. Now, it wasn't a library in the sense that it was full of books. We used it for a sewing room for our 4-H. Because at that time, our teachers were our 4-H leaders. I wonder if they could get teachers to do that now. They stayed until maybe 6 o'clock at night. At least one of the teachers was the handicraft leader. And they had their room down in the basement. And I can still remember Miss Laura's hands would get all stained with the when they were staining their furniture. And they really put out some nice looking pieces of furniture, you know, little tables, end tables and legs and racks and bookends and things like that. They didn't make anything large, great big pieces, but they put out some nice things. And then my teacher was also, by the time I was about in the 6th grade, I think, you know, I must have been, my teacher was also my campfire leader. She was our 4-H leader and our campfire leader. She took us out camping. We'd go out and stay out overnight. And I don't think teachers nowadays would be that dedicated that they would give that much time without getting paid for it. No, they didn't get paid for this extracurricular stuff. They just do it. There was something else I thought of about the schools that you might be interested in. And I was talking to my mother last night, and she says that the PTA pushed this. And I think for the first year anyway, and maybe for the first 2 years, they paid a county music teacher. They had 2 of them. And the county, well, they worked the whole county. And we can't remember whether they came once a week or whether they came once every 2 weeks for our music. And she would teach us songs and lay out what the teacher had to carry out, you see, for the next week or 2 weeks, however often it was she came. And she would put little songs on the blackboard, and we learned them by rote. You know,
yeah.
We learned to sing the notes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Mm-hmm, we would sing them like that rather than the words, and then we would put the words to it. And for a lot of kids, you see, they didn't have any musical instruments at home, I suppose, a lot of them. I was fortunate we had a piano. And then we also had what they called music appreciation. Now, I can't remember whether whether this was in conjunction with the county music teacher. It must have been. The PTA brought a phonograph, and I can remember how thrilled we were when we got that. I was in the smaller room that had 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. And the PTA bought a phonograph. And they had music appreciation. They bought some records. The only one that I can remember right now was Nutcracker Sweet.
Yeah.
You know, classical music. And they would play it for us. And then our test at the end of the year was, however long it lasted, I don't really remember now, we had to recognize those pieces. She would play just a short bit of it, and put the needle any place in the record, and we could recognize it. I mean, that's one thing. No more I can still recognize is a Nutcracker Suite. But you see, to a lot of kids, they never had the opportunity to hear anything like that. There's been a great change in the schools, and I don't know, a lot of it's for the better, and I think a lot of it might not be for the better. Then by the time you see that we had the three-room school, they added a grade. We had ninth grade. Up until that time, they had to send all the students to downtown to school, and they had to pay their own tuition.
That's what
I was. Yeah, I was. I don't just remember when they finally voted to pay our tuition, but by the time I went, the township paid our tuition, and I went to Sedna High. But I didn't go down until I was in the 10th grade. And we had to find our own transportation. Me and Mr. Albert. I rode with him, and we paid him 25 cents a week. He worked at Standard Oil downtown. You know, where they've been building this. He lived there for years and years. I think he was something on a company or something with the people. And there were several of us students that we used to meet down on the corner here. And he picked us up every morning. And but the problem was that he went, it was no later than 7:30 in the morning, maybe quarter after 7, I can't remember. I know it was very early. And we got to school long before anyone else was there. And we had to wait in the hall. None of the rooms were open. And I remember, I think I have a copy of the old school paper. What was that called? The scroll? It's having a hard time. I can't remember. But I remember I wrote a letter asking why they couldn't have one of the study halls open so we could go in and sit down anyway, and we could even do some of our studies and go home with me. And they finally did it. And then they opened one of the study halls for the rural students. But you see, I suppose they just couldn't come. And there were quite a few rural students going in by that time. But you learned more about Bridgeport schools, didn't you? No, it doesn't matter? Well, let's see, what else can I remember about?
Did you have one teacher over here, or was it?
Well, when I first started school, there were two. There were two teachers. Oh, yes, that was something else. When they had the two-room school, the furnace was right in the middle of the building on the main floor. And if I remember right, the teacher had to put stuff in it, put fuel in it. It was like a pot-bellied stove with casing around it.
Yeah.
Sheen iron, or whatever that stuff is.
Yeah.
And that was right there. Then, see, that's why it was so great when they remodeled. They had a basement. And they put the furnace down the basement, and the bathrooms on the main floor, and I think that was the highlight. And when I was in, when they had the three-room school, We still used the drinking water bucket. There was a pump out in the front yard, and the water was very salty, I can remember that. And when I was little anyway, in the two-room school, we had this bucket of water in each room. And my mother reminded me of this. I don't remember it myself, but she says that a teacher by the name of Mrs. Robertson, who is still living, by the way, she lives in Saginaw, I see her occasionally, and she instigated the idea of every child bringing his or her own cup, because they used a community cup even at that time, and we kept it in our desk, so that if you wanted to drink, why, you had your own cup. But that sounds almost unbelievable that at that time that they would use one cup for all the kids, doesn't it? I know I didn't remember. Maybe because the reason I don't remember it is because I didn't like salty water, and I probably didn't drink too much. Maybe I waited until I got home, because I lived right across the street from the school. Oh, let's see. What else can I tell you about the schools?
What other subjects did you study besides music?
We had geography and arithmetic and history. I can remember that. And by the time I got into the ninth grade, I had 1 year of Latin. They had put that in, and I think they had put algebra. But I only had that for 1 year. Of course, in the smaller grades, we had arithmetic, or reading. And I can't remember all that. We didn't have a lot of extra subjects. You could see that when they had 3 or 4 grades in the room. The teacher had a manuscript. But I can't remember that there was any great discipline problem. when they do with the discipline problems that they have. The teachers were allowed to shake or to slap. Now, I can't remember even teachers having to do that very much. There might have been one or two boys that were kind of mischievous, but there was there was nothing in the schools like there is now. This desire to break and to destroy. I don't know.
That's because
where does it come from?
Right, it comes from the designs and all this stuff.
But I say, where does that desire to do all this, to that we appreciated what we had?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here they're giving everything.
Because you see, most of the time while I was in my upper grades, and then in high school, it was during the Big Depression. People were very hard up, and we were glad to have what we had.
Yeah.
When I graduated from the ninth grade, then I was going to go downtown to school. Even at that time, there were quite a few boys and girls who didn't plan on going on to high school, and we had a graduation. We had it down at the Little White Church. Mm-hmm.
Where's that?
And the Little White Church down here on Dixie, where Dr. Pacina's office is, where the professional buildings are.
Oh.
You weren't here? You don't remember? No, that's where our church used to be.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's where the old white church from the community church. Mm-hmm. That's where I went to Sunday school when I was a little girl.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that was another building that had the furnace in the back of the church. And the stovepipe went the full length of the building. I suppose maybe they did that to conserve on the heat, because there would be heat in that stovepipe. And the chimney was at the other end, but that's the way they did it. And when I was a little girl going to Sunday school there, they didn't have a regular minister. I think some of the men that they had to come out and speak to us on Sunday were, one I know was a school teacher, and they had other jobs because they couldn't afford to pay them. And my mother reminded me that some of the early ones, they were supposed to pay them $5 a Sunday, but they didn't always have it to pay. And as a kid that age, I can't remember that I really stayed at church much. But I did go to Sunday school every Sunday. And one of the things that I remember about the Little White Church is that on Children's Day and Easter, we always had a big children's program. And we decorated the church with wildflowers. And you know where we got a lot of them? Right down along this road here, there's two little ruts. Uh-huh. And a lot of violets and mayflowers and buttercups, especially. They were so pretty. And we could walk down through here. This road here was just a very small road. From the corner on, I don't think it was really a road. It was just two little ruts, too.
What was the road up here? This one?
This one over here, yes. And that was gravel, too.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being there, too. I remember who that paid that. I must. But I don't. Maybe it was cement. It surely wasn't, though, at that time.
You know, in the early 20s, the Williamson was. That's when gravel.
Must have been, yeah. And the Dixie was a two-lane cement road. And there were no lights. No lights. And as the cars became thicker on the highways, I remember, like, on the 4th of July or on Labor Day, you could scarcely get across the street down here.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. And then the citizens in Bridgeport probably had to petition. I don't remember because I wasn't big enough to know anything about it. They petitioned for a light down there, but it took many years to get one.
For the street light?
For the street light, or the stoplight here, so that people could get across. Mm-hmm. It was really terrific. And let's see, I would have been about maybe in the ninth grade or so. But yeah, I don't think I was in high school yet when they added two more lanes, a lane on either side of the two lanes that were the Dixie Highway.
Mm-hmm.
They made a four lane out of it. And a lot of the buildings they had to move back to make room for that. And our church was one of them. And they took the opportunity that while we were going through that to move, they raised it. We put a basement under it. We built a room on the back. So we had a dining room and in the basement and a kitchen. And they called those rooms on the back the church parlors instead of a fellowship room. It was the same idea as our fellowship room. And they help babies and things like that. Some of our Sunday school classes were in there. Oh, let's see now. Oh, I can tell you one thing. Every year, we could almost regularly count on it being high water from the Cass River.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And this road here was, and all that flatland down there was all under the water. I can also remember when the Dixie was underwater down there, just beyond Dr. Bessina's office, where that road, where those houses are back in on the right hand side.
Mm-hmm.
Those houses were very often underwater. I can remember one year my brother, he thought it was a great adventure, got to go in with them in a boat and take some people out. And he helped take out one lady's chickens. She had a batch of chickens in there, a chicken coop, and it was all underwater. And then to get back to the church, one year we had planned a big, we always had what they call a big birthday dinner in the spring. And one year, the church basement was full of water. They had the tables all set. Now, I must have been high school age by that time. I must have been. We had the tables all set, and the women were even bringing food and stuff in, and the water came in. It came right up the drains, backed up from the river. And we had to scramble, and I can remember helping. They pushed the pews all together, and we put the tables upstairs, right in the church sanctuary. I can remember that, and I was big enough to help. And I was there at the wait table and helped my mother. Well, I think I told you all. Oh, something else about Bridgeport. They're still here, but they're nothing like they were, and that's mosquitoes. Because nobody sprayed. We didn't have any kind of spray like that. I can remember when they first started trying to put oil on the on the river flats down here and on standing water around. I don't know whether it ever helped. But, and then of course they sprayed, and I don't think the spray helped as much as having more people cut the grass. You see, you never see anybody now with grass around their house. Everybody cuts their lawn. And I can't remember that people did. We had a lawnmower that we pushed, but I can't remember that we really cut our grass. It didn't seem to grow, but I don't know. I don't know how we did. Maybe there were enough kids that would cut it down. You suppose? But I can remember when I was a little bitty kid, like in first or second, third grade along in there. In the summertime, we built smudges to keep the mosquitoes away when we played outside.
What are smudges?
A bucket. We took an old bucket and we built a little fire in it, and then we put grass in on it until it made smoke. It kind of, no flame. There was no flame, but the smoke came out. That must have made us smell good. It helped to keep the mosquitoes away. Do you know what citronella smells like?
No.
Have you ever smelled it? We didn't miss much. we didn't have 6-12 or anything like that, and it was an oily stuff, and you rub it on your arms and legs to keep the mosquitoes off, and oh, it smelled horrible. Very pungent smell, and I suppose the mosquitoes didn't like it either.
When you were a teenager, what did you do for entertainment?
What did we do for fun? Well, we had a young people's group at the church. I think we called it a club. We didn't call it a youth fellowship. And my mother was the sponsor. I can't remember who helped her. There wasn't a team. And we had parties. Sometimes we, before we had the church basement, we met at the town hall.
That's over here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this old town hall here that they kept. We played all kinds of games. We played dancing games. Do you ever play Skip the Movie? It's a dancing game. And then toward the end, as I got older, we danced. I don't know how well we danced, but we tried to dance. And we took hikes. She used to go with us. We hiked up Tower Line. That was very wild up Tower Line.
Oh,
that's so full of houses now. I can remember when there were three houses out there. Griner's and Crawfish's and Mitchell's. And that's all that was there.
Wow.
And there was a lot of woods there. Remember, they cleaned out a lot and put those houses in there. And we would hike down there, and it was like being way out in the wilderness. And it was famous, and marshmallows, and this was boys and girls together, not just girls. And we probably hiked that in there, maybe a mile or two, I don't know. Because, you know, Tar Line runs between State and King.
Yeah.
And we hiked almost down to King. We had a lot of fun. What else did we do for fun? Oh yes, the free movies. Did you ever hear free movies?
No. Not in a quarter of movies.
No. These were free movies, and they were sponsored by the business people here in town.
Where'd they hold them?
And they held them down here, right about where the post office is now.
Oh yeah.
Uh huh. They put up a screen. I can't remember them. They must have put it up every time there was a frame in there that they built. And they must have put that screen up every time. It was mostly, as I remember, they were questions. And people flocked to them. We didn't have any television, of course.
No.
And of course, radio was in, but not that great yet. And we'd go and we'd take a blanket. Have you ever gone to the fireworks down at Lake Park?
Yeah.
On the 4th of July?
Yeah.
Things like that. People came some blankets, they brought chairs, folding chairs or yard chairs. Or we just took a blanket and sat on the ground. And of course, the young people would walk around, you know, like they do at the football games. I don't know where we walked, but back and forth and up and down. And I was a teenager then, and that was a lot of fun. That was a big thrill. And over where the party store is now, you know, right across the street, I remember the name of him. He built that building, and he had a dairy there, and in front of the dairy bar. And I think there were a lot of, I was one of them, and my sister also was one. A lot of the girls here are boys, too, in town, worked there. We dipped ice cream. And Mr. Heaney did a terrific business on Sunday movie night. So it was a good investment for him, you see, to, to contribute to the free movies. Let me look here now. There was something else that you probably don't know anything about. There used to be an interurban that ran from Detroit, and I think it went only as far as Bay City, but I'm not sure. And it was on this side of the Dixie before they widened it, because when they widened it, I think they put that old interurban track out. You know what an interurban is? It's like a big, big streetcar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Almost, it looks kind of like a train.
Those were the electric
cars. It was electric.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know, I talked to Mr. Smith down here in Williamson. He's lived there for since he was 20. He built
yes.
The house.
Oh, I know what you mean.
And he said that before they had the electric ones, they had them pulled by horses.
Well, then that would have been before my time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I can remember taking the interurban to town.
Do you remember how much that cost?
I was just going to say, I think it was a nickel.
A nickel?
Uh-huh.
He said he couldn't remember, but he knew that it was the same to go from here to Saginaw as it was to go from Saginaw to Detroit.
It was the same
thought it was.
Oh my, but it's so much further.
No,
it seems to me that it was a nickel that we put in the thing. And it was quite an adventure to get to ride that. Because there was an old viaduct. You know what a viaduct is? It's a thing that goes up. They built the track up on a trestle and it went up over the railroad.
Yeah.
Well, that was wooden.
Oh.
There were no steel beams in that. That was all wooden. And that was so much fun. It was quite a thrill when we got up there. We thought we were way up in the air. And then when it went down, it went real fast. I don't know how fast it went, but it always seemed very fast to me. And I can remember especially taking the old interurban on when it was fair week. They don't give the boys and girls in school Monday off for Children's Day, Students' Day anymore, do they? Well, they did when I went to school. We had Monday off. There was no school that day, and everybody got into it. All the kids got into the fairgrounds free. But if any parent went with this boy, when they were smaller, they had to pay.
Where was the fairgrounds at? Where
the same place. The same place. Mm-hmm. Of course, they didn't have they had a new fair grandstand that was all wooden.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that was the kid in safe finder, and they tore that down. And a lot of most of the buildings were wooden. I guess they have a few of those old wooden buildings, but not a lot of them left anymore, because they're fire trucks.
Mm.
Oh, the fair, that was a big deal.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yes.
Did you ever go to any of the circuses they had down here?
Yes, that's something my mother always took every kid in the neighborhood, I believe. We didn't have much money to spend buying stuff. I think we could always buy one thing, whether we bought pink lemonade or cotton candy or something like that. But I can remember going to the circus every year. My mother always took us. My dad would take us down. I don't know how he managed it, but he would take us down in the car, I can remember, and we'd take all of our friends with us. And we'd get to go to the circus. And that was all during the Depression. And I can also remember my mother making popcorn and putting it on in little brown sacks. And we all had our popcorn that we took with us. So, and then we had our money to buy our ticket to get into the circus. And you might be interested, I was always so thrilled. I was very tomboyish when I was a kid. I didn't think there was a tree in Ridgewood that I hadn't climbed to the top of. And the trapeze artists always thrilled me the most. And one year after we went to the circus, I tried to walk on my mother's wire line that she had, a clothesline that was a permanent line out in the backyard, and I broke it. I don't know how far I got. And we had trapezes always in our yard in the tree. And I could dangle my heels and do all sorts of things on it. Until one of my older brothers grew up all of a sudden and was so ashamed and embarrassed because his sister was out there, and he says, some of my friends went by and saw her hanging there like that. Because we didn't wear shorts, you know, we wore dresses.
Oh.
And then they had boomers with elastic down around the knees. And I guess he was afraid someone was going to see my boomers. But it didn't bother me. Oh, gee. There was another thing I was going to tell you, that over here where our church is now was our village doctor. I don't know, he was gone before you came. That was the Lyle property, and Dr. Lyle was our doctor for many, many years. He didn't die too long ago here. His son still lives across the river on the old farm.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. And when Dr. Lyle retired, why, he sold his house and all that property, and that's how we acquired the church property where our new church is.
Mm. Was he the veterinarian or the doctor?
No, he was a medical doctor.
Medical doctor?
Medical doctor, mm-hmm. I can remember going to him for the few times I went to a doctor. We didn't run to a doctor, I guess, and maybe I didn't have anything wrong with me, I don't know. And there was something else I saw here. Oh, yes. When I was a kid growing up, now I would have been elementary school during this. We had two old men, real old men, that lived here in town. One lived down there where Dixie Tool is now. Mm-hmm. There was an old house there. And then over here on State Street where the TV store is.
Yeah.
There was a little old building there that had a front on it, kind of like a store, and this old man lived in there, and they were both Civil War veterans. And the one man down here, old Mr. Torrance, had been a drummer boy, and he had his drums that he played in the Civil War, and the drumsticks, and one of the drumsticks, you know how they play a snare drum like this, was shot off. That's how close he came to getting it. And every year, that was one of the highlights, too, for us kids especially. We always had a little parade. And as long as Mr. Torrance was able, why, he would play the drums and marching. And we'd walk up here just from here, I guess. I can't remember where we started even. We'd walk to the little old cemetery here. And then the children would put flags on all the veterans. That would have been veterans probably from Civil War. I mean, whether there were any World War I veterans in there or not. And of course, World War II hadn't come along yet. And we'd always have a little program. They'd have someone sing some old song, I can remember that, and a couple of hymns. And then, I don't know whether it would be a minister or what, I can't remember. But we always had a program to commemorate the veterans. But that was pretty thrilling to have those old Civil War, because that's a long time ago.
Yeah, it was.
And to think that I can remember when they were here. And let's see now. I can't remember any more about that.